It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is out today. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll talk to a theater director who stages ancient Greek tragedies as a way to help veterans and others overcome PTSD. First, what's the best way to teach Wisconsin students in an increasingly multilingual environment? Tonight, Madison's school board is expected to vote on a new proposal for teaching students whose native language is not English. Also known as English language learners, these students now make up around 1 in 4 students in Madison Public Schools. Most of them speak Spanish, with a growing number of Hmong speakers, among others. The plan, which includes an immersion program that would mix English and Spanish speakers in a single classroom with the aim of proficiency in both languages for all the students, has seen pushback in some neighborhoods. The question of how best to teach English language learners is one that reaches across the state. Wisconsin's Hispanic population has been growing in every county, with some of the largest growth in rural areas. While some Hispanics may be fully bilingual or speak English as their first language, many also learn English at school. Here with us now to talk about Madison's plan is Sylvia Romero-Johnson, Executive Director of the Office of Multilingual and Global Education at Madison Metropolitan Schools. Sylvia, hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting me.
And Salvador Carranza is with us. He's President of the Latino Education Council. Salvador, thank you as well.
Oh, thank you for having us. Thank you very much.
Well, Sylvia, to start with, what are some of the different languages spoken in Madison schools?
Yes, we have students who are enrolled in our school districts, and we have almost 100 languages or more. And the majority of the students speak Spanish as their first language at home, approximately 58% of all the students. Then we have the next group of languages are Hmong, Arabic is growing, Mandinka, Korean, Mandarin, etc., etc.
And how has that picture been changing, say, over the last 10 years or so?
Yes, over the last 10 years, it has basically doubled the number of students the percentage of students who have been enrolled in the district has virtually doubled from 14% to now approximately 27%. That's last school year's demographic information that we have. So we see this in many of our schools. Some schools have approximately 50% of their student enrollment is made up of English language learners. Others are, you know, different percentages.
And Salvador, you recently wrote a piece about English language learners and how the school is meeting their needs, might not be meeting their needs, and how that all fits into state and federal law. What's the basic philosophy we should keep in mind when it comes to this kind of education?
Well, part of it is federal law requires that there are certain support systems in place for English language learners, regardless of the language. Obviously, if you come here and you don't speak English, before you can fully understand English and be proficient to be able to learn, you need to have some support in your language. That's just normal and logical. Federal law requires that. Unfortunately, not all our schools or school districts in the state provide the adequate level of support for these students. Some don't provide any support. In our school districts, we are fortunate in Madison that we have had some schools and some areas that do support English language learners. For example, we do a language immersion programs. But that depends on where you live in the city. And there's no equal access to everybody. So it's a matter of opportunity as well. So that is the reason that the LL plan, part of it is to comply with federal law and state law. But part of it is also to give a choice and opportunity to families and children that want to also keep their language and become proficient, as you mentioned at the beginning, in both their language and English by the time they graduate, to have that opportunity.
Well, Salvador mentioned, Sylvia, this new plan. It's coming up at a meeting tonight. So what would change in this plan that's going to be proposed to the Madison School Board here?
Yes, so there are several changes that we're proposing. One of them is greater communication with parents. We know because parents have told us, we have held a number of informational sessions with parents, and they have told us that they do not necessarily understand what services their students are receiving. So we have put a great emphasis on parent communication in all aspects of the services of English language learners, from the identification process, through the yearly assessments that English language learners have to take, through the the years when students are being monitored and then exited out of the program. We need to make sure that parents understand exactly what's going on at each step of the way. So that's one area. The other area is a number of monitoring, internal monitoring systems. So as a district, we need to do a better job to be continually monitoring how our students doing. Are they on track, for example, our high school students? Are they on track to graduation? Are they being enrolled in courses that lead to graduation and preparedness for college or career after high school? And then one critical aspect has been the issue of equitable access to bilingual education. Because we do have state statutes that mandate access to a bilingual bicultural program. We know that there's limited access in the district because currently we have only 7 schools that have offer a bilingual program. But we have English language learners whose home language is Spanish in virtually every school. So we need to move forward and provide that equitable access by making more programs available to students.
We're talking to Sylvia Romero-Johnson and Salvador Carranza about English language learners in the school, people learning English in part or in whole in public schools, an issue statewide, an issue in Madison tonight at a school board meeting as they prepare to vote on a plan to change the way that's done in this district. Salvador, I know there's been a lot of public hearings lately, some feedback. A concern, I imagine, from students whose parents aren't English language learners might be, is this taking resources away from our kids? Is this going to hurt the education for some kids while helping others?
Well, that's one of the misunderstandings. There's a lot of concerns that really don't have any real foundation. For example, English language learners, because the federal law requires that they get certain support, there's title money that they bring into the school district that they could support their learning as well and the support systems that can be put in place. So they are actually bringing funds into the district, additional funds that wouldn't be there if these English language learners weren't there. So that's one of the things. The second thing is that we need to make sure that if we are going to be equitable, and equitable means to every student what they need to succeed. These students need bilingual and support programs to be able to be successful. We need to find out if there's any other groups of students that are not in DLI programs or bilingual programs, or they choose not to. What can we do to equitably give them the opportunity for quality education? But that's a separate issue. It shouldn't be mingled with the issue that these students need the support. These students require the support by federal and state law, and we are not giving that support to all of them. So I think we have to separate. If there's legitimate concerns that are incidental to this plan being passed, they have to be dealt in a separate manner to really give everybody an equitable opportunity to meet their need where they are.
And Sylvia, I wanted to ask about the immersion program Salvador brought up earlier. So as I understand it, you might have a classroom where you have English speakers and Spanish speakers, and the idea is they both come out speaking both languages. Talk about how that works.
Mm-hmm. So the classroom composition is, like you said, approximately half of the class is made up of English language learners whose home language is Spanish. And the other half are all other learners because whether they are non-ELLs and they're English speakers at home, or they're even ELLs and speak other languages at home, they're also eligible for the program. So the program is really wide open to all students in the district. And the objectives are basically three: high levels of bilingualism, so being able to communicate, speaking and listening and understanding in two languages, in both social and academic context. And the second one is biliteracy, so being able to read and write, be able to do presentations, communicate, again, not just socially, but also about academic content, about math, about science, about social studies. So it's a different level of language that they're also developing in two languages. And then the third one is intercultural skills, meaning having the cultural skills to be able to address and live and negotiate with people from different cultural backgrounds. This is a critical skill that we have to have in this 21st century of global markets and global interconnection with people.
And Salvador, one thing I think you're getting at in the piece I mentioned was the idea that this isn't a burden or a problem to be solved, but an opportunity for Native English speakers and non-Native English speakers alike. Can you expand on that? How can we make that a plus for everybody involved?
Well, I think everybody understands nowadays, like you started the program. We're living in a global environment. More and more, speaking another language, understanding other cultures, and language is a vehicle for understanding other cultures, by the way, is extremely important. It's a skill that every one of our students in our school district should have the option. And I'm emphasizing option. It's a choice. There might be parents or families that might not want that choice for the children, and that is okay. But we shouldn't take that choice away from those families that do want it. That's why this plan will give that choice available to every family that does need it and those who would want to have it for their own children. So that is the key important point.
We're talking to Salvador Carranza. He's president of the Latino Education Council. Also with us, Sylvia Romero-Johnson, executive director of the Office of Multilingual and Global Education at Madison Metropolitan Schools. Talking about Madison's plan for teaching English language learners. There's a vote expected tonight from their school board there. We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Whether you're a teacher, a student, or parent, how does your community teach English language learners? Do you think it's successful? What could improve? What do you think of what you've heard so far in Madison? Call 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation now with Sylvia Romero-Johnson, Executive Director of the Office of Multilingual and Global Education at Madison Metropolitan Schools, and Salvador Carranza, President of the Latino Education Council. We're talking about the Madison School District's plan for teaching English language learners, a statewide issue. It's on the school board's agenda there tonight. We'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Are you or your child an English language learner? What's going on at your schools? Are you a teacher or parent in a school district with a lot of students who are learning English as maybe their second language? Call in at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right to a caller now. We've got Michelle on the line in Kenosha. Michelle, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say good luck. I think that Madison could sorely use this, and in Kenosha, this has been in existence for almost 20 years. This is the 19th year. All three of my kids went through a K-8 dual language Spanish-English immersion, and all three are fully bilingual in both languages.
Nice.
I just can't speak highly enough about this. And anybody in the state who's interested, there's so many resources. But good luck to those of you in Madison, and any child can benefit from this, whether they're native English speaker, native whatever, they can benefit from this type of education.
And Michelle, I wanted to ask, so your students learned Spanish as a second language in Kenosha schools?
Yes, they did. Yes, right. They did through a fairly unique, going through eighth grade. Most go through fifth. Mm-hmm. And then they were able to do AP Spanish and advanced Spanish right away in high school. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great cognitive benefit to all students. So if anybody wants to come to Kenosha and see how it's done, it's right there, and it's absolutely fantastic. So good luck to you guys.
Michelle, thank you so much for the call. And Salvador, as we've mentioned, this is a statewide issue. Are there a lot of programs like this with that dual language learning around the state?
Yes, there are several programs. I believe there's programs in Milwaukee. I believe there's programs in Waukesha as well.
Racine
mm-hmm. has a program, but it's not readily available to everyone. That is the issue. I mean, there's spots here and there, but they should be available to anybody who would have a choice to be able to have this great opportunity, both English language learners and English speakers.
Michelle, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. There's a parent there. That reminds me, Sylvia, I wanted to ask you about families. It's one thing for the kid in mm-hmm. a school to learn English. How about bringing the families on board so they can communicate with the teachers, understand the homework assignments, that kind
of
thing?
Yes. So families whose home language is not English currently have really great deal of trouble very often communicating with staff who are often not bilingual. We do make available in our district staff who we call bilingual resource specialists. So they're interpreters to help parents communicate with the school and school communicate with parents. But the beauty of these dual language immersion programs is that it increases the number of available staff where the classroom teacher is bilingual. Sometimes some of the principals are bilingual. So it lessens the requirement for that intermediary, and the parent can go directly to the people who are teaching their mm-hmm. kids, mm-hmm. directly to the principal, so that they don't have to always be in a position of, in a deficit position, but also can contribute directly to the school community.
We'll bring another caller in now. We've got John on the line in Cary, Illinois. John, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, John?
Well, thank you for taking the call. It's a very interesting topic. I'm a heritage speaker of Spanish, second generation. My mother came from Mexico. And my comment briefly as I can is it's not just if you think you know English, it's subtle cues like social cues and communication and behavior that the immigrant children might need help with. If that makes any sense.
Oh, absolutely.
John, yeah, let's talk more about that. Thanks for the call, John. Salvador, what things would they need beyond the basic words and phrases?
A part of it, what he's talking about is feeling welcome in the school, feeling like they are valued. I think understanding those social cues and having somebody that understands where these kids are coming from the cultural perspective, being culturally competent, but not just culturally competent, which is a little bit passive, but culturally responsive to the kids and the families. That's extremely important. These programs are actually developed to address some of those issues for both English language learners and English speakers. That's why they're so valuable.
And at the level of this changing program, what would happen to tackle those sort of cultural issues and appreciation of the students that Salvador was talking about?
Yeah, so within the curriculum, we make sure that we include a curriculum that is culturally responsive to all of the different cultures. So not just the Latino mm-hmm. culture, but all cultures, because we need all students to understand that cultures have a lot in common, but also there are culture-specific expectations, and we want all students to be able to navigate what that is. So the other part that's important is as a bilingual program, it is a very, very important part for students to develop high levels of proficiency in English. Mm-hmm. So we often think about the minority target language because it is such an important part of the identity development for language minority students, but the other part of a bilingual program, of a well-implemented bilingual program, is making sure that all students reach high levels of proficiency in English and that they exit from the ELL services program.
Talking to Salvador Carranza and Sylvia Romero-Johnson about English language learners and how they're taught in schools. It's an issue in Madison with a vote in the school board tonight, an issue a lot of school districts around the state are working on as well. We'll go back to our callers now. We've got Richard on the line with us in Madison. Richard, hi.
Hi. I commend you people for doing what you're doing. I came from a small town in northeastern Wisconsin, and I didn't have a chance to learn a foreign language until I was a sophomore in high school, which is way too late.
Richard, thanks a lot for the
Thank
call.
You.
So I've heard
Thank
a lot, and I think Richard's alluding to the idea that the earlier the better when it comes to language learning. How early do the immersion programs start? What age, Sylvia?
We start with 5 years old, kindergarten, 5-year-old kindergarten, and it goes through eighth grade as a 50-50 model, meaning by the time the students get to eighth grade, half of the days in Spanish, half of the days in English. And then we do have a high school continuation program with classes that are at the proficiency level, so students can continue maintaining and developing both English and Spanish. But what's important is that we have the idea of a pathway. We have English language learners at this point who are not accessing courses at the high school level that are, for example, advanced learner courses or AP courses. But in this case, students who are in this dual language pathway would be able, by design, to be able to access high-level courses. So, which is, it puts English language learners in a completely different trajectory for advanced learning.
In our last couple of minutes or so, let's talk about outcomes. I assume that's what this is ultimately all about. What are you hoping for with this change in the program, Sylvia, to see when it comes to graduation rates, maybe college attendance, that kind of measurable thing?
Yes, we want to see students engaged in learning. We want to see students happy to go to school and learn. We want to see high levels of proficiency in both English and Spanish. We want to be able to see students attaining English language proficiency in a shorter period of time than we currently have, and certainly want to be able to see that translated into higher graduation rates that we currently have, and students being prepared to actually tackle and enroll in the pathways of their choice after high school graduation.
And Salvador, very briefly.
Just briefly, one thing that is extremely important that I'm talking about outcomes. The programs, to be successful, like any other program, have to be implemented with fidelity. If they're not implemented with fidelity, they're not going to be successful. And that's one thing that is not just passing the plan. It's not just saying we now have a plan. We have expanded DLI programs. We have expanded bilingual opportunities. He's saying, how are we going to implement them in the schools with fidelity, faithfully, so that we can get the outcomes that we want? You know, if we get the wrong input, we're going to get the wrong output. That's something extremely important.
Thanks to both of you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate being here.
That was Sylvia Romero-Johnson, Executive Director of the Office of Multilingual and Global Education at Madison Metropolitan Schools, and Salvador Carranza, President of the Latino Education Council, talking about English language learners in Wisconsin.